When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmar, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Happy Tuesday. We're presented, as always, by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I'm Jay Zawoski. We've got Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi here in our West Loop studios. Very comfortable in here today.
Yeah, it's nice.
By the way, very nice. Great job by the Navarro Heating and Air Conditioning Company.
Free play.
Maybe they won't charge us now that I did that. I don't know if there's... Yeah.
There you go.
Great dudes, but I hope to never see them here again.
Right. But they're doing a fantastic job doing the John McClane up in the vents and sawing stuff. Yes. And it's really nice and cool in here. So the playoffs are here. Round two of the playoffs are here. They begin tonight. And we are going to roll out our second round predictions. I think later in the show, too, time allowing, we're going to advance the conversation a little bit on the Blackhawks coaching search. We glossed over it a little bit yesterday, but Kyle Davidson putting a bit of a timestamp on his timeline, and we're seeing some other coaching candidates being interviewed today, including Barry Trotz and the Winnipeg Jets. So lots to get to. So let's get right to it, fellas. Round two is among us. Where would we like to begin?
I think we can get the easiest one out of the way first and go Colorado versus St. Louis.
I think that's a good place to start.
I think our friends at DNVR are going to be happy once again with a very short series.
Yeah, and I liked your, it's going to be published after the show, right? Our predictions. You'll really enjoy Mario's very brief prediction of this series.
He's a man of few words, but they are very effective words.
I'll give you a teaser in which it is also the full analysis of the series. Screw the Blues.
I agree.
That's it.
Colorado's too good. I don't want to see St. Louis happy. Screw the Blues. Avs in four. I'll give you guys one win.
Ooh, I like it. All right.
Or Avs in five. Sorry.
Avs in five. All right.
Avs in five.
Yeah, I too am on the Avs in five train. The Blues, I'll give them credit. As much as it pains me to do so, I will give them credit. I thought they were dead as dead when Minnesota went up 2-1. Minnesota looked so good in game three.
Yeah.
And then they switched goalies. They gave up on Ville Husso, and they went back to Jordan Binnington, who hasn't been very good lately, but he was very good in these last three games. Credit to him, Chicago Wolves legend Jordan Binnington, and they pulled it out. But this is a different beast. These are not the Minnesota Wild lining up on the other side. Minnesota, I don't think, has anybody as fast as Colorado's slowest player.
Minnesota was really good this year.
They just weren't quite there yet. They're on the cusp of being there. But as we saw with the Blackhawks, you know, in 08, 09, you know, you got to take a couple of lumps before you get ready. You got to learn to lose before you can learn to win, as they like to say. So, you know, Minnesota, disappointing. Colorado, they may be the fastest team in the history of the NHL.
Wow.
They're just ridiculous. Even their fourth liners are just speed kills – Kyle Davidson has mentioned it many times, including a bunch of times yesterday. He wants the Blackhawks to get faster. Why? Because the Colorado Avalanche are the best team in the league, and they're the fastest team in the league. They're also very talented.
Right.
They're not good just because they're fast. They're fast and talented, but the Blues just, I don't think, have the wheels to hang with these guys. They're going to try and muck it up. They're going to try and slow them down. That may work for a period or two, but in the end, Colorado just too fast, too talented. Maybe Binnington steals a game, maybe two. Or maybe Binnington reverts back to his regular season and this is over really quick.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a place in my mind where the Blues have an advantage, and I can't find one.
No.
Maybe in the being mean jerk division department. but then again, Nazem Kadri's there, and that's a wash.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And let's not forget Gabriel Landeskog has had his share of not great moments.
What's
too.
What's the Swedish word for peen?
I don't know. Joey, get on that. What's the Swedish word for peen? Look that up for us.
Gabriel Elboskog, as I like to call him. Great player, but he could be a jerk when he wants to.
Well, you mentioned, having to take their lumps, right? The Wild having to take their lumps. The Avalanche have done that.
Yeah.
They have been for a few years one of the cup favorites and have fallen short. This feels like anything short of a cup final is a failure for Colorado, and they are so head and shoulders the best team in the West. It's almost like they have to fail to not get to the cup final, and I think they're going to win this series in five. I'm hoping they win this series in five. I'm really excited to see, just as we discussed, give us more Connor McDavid, give us more Cale Makar.
Yeah.
Right?
Lack of respect from you guys for Jordan Kyrou. Not sure how to say it.
Kyrou?
He won the fastest skater this year.
Well, you got one guy.
Okay.
One guy.
That's one,
you got
one guy.
You got one
but
guy,
a whole team.
The Avalanche have 12 Jordan Kyrous.
That's fine. But if you as can long clone as we, him, give him his stars.
All right, sure.
All right.
Way to win an all-star competition between five guys.
Big St. Louis fan Joey over here trying to shove St. Louis down our throats. I'm trying to think of a faster team, and when I think fast in hockey, I think Pavel Bure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that Bure-McGillney Canucks team was pretty fast, but it might have been just those two that were really, really fast, and the rest were pretty normal. Trevor Linden, not necessarily a speed burner.
No.
Cliff Ronning was pretty fast for his time.
For a 19 but early 90s player.
I don't think they could hold a candle to the Avalanche here. I mean, they are just...
Blues are going to try and get in their way. Guys like Ryan O'Reilly, their big bodies, are going to try and slow them down. But I can't see that happening four times in seven games.
Right, that's the thing. And I think we maybe are somewhat a little bit blinded by our dislike of the Blues, and maybe we're not giving them enough credit. They've won a very recent Stanley Cup. They're a playoff-tested, battle-hardened team. It's O'Reilly, it's Saad, on and on and on. Guys who have been there, done that. But I just, again, there's no advantage the Blues have over the Avalanche. In no category do they have an advantage.
Yeah, except playoff experience, Stanley Cup experience. You mentioned they've got guys that are still part of that 2019 team. If you're going to choose based on who's got more ex-Blackhawks, then you're going to have to root for the Blues because the Avalanche don't have any. Might be a smart play this postseason. But, yeah. I mean, the Blues have Nick Leddy. They have Brendan Saad, guys that have won Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks. So you add those two guys in addition to the guys that are still there from 2019. They definitely know what it takes to win it all, but that still doesn't overcome.
They're a talented team, but there's a talent gap for sure.
Absolutely.
And I think
stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
It would be a major upset, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, this is the most unbelievable upset in sports if the Blues can pull it off. But I think in order for the Blues to win four games this series, the Avalanche are going to have to lose two of them. Like, they're going to have to screw something up in order to let them into this series. They're going to have a bad penalty game. Nazem Kadri may pull a Nazem Kadri and get suspended and kicked out of a game and give them a five-minute major that they score three goals on. You know, it's going to be something weird like that is going to have to happen.
There's also the question of, you know, what percentage of health is Darcy Kemper at? You know, if he can be the player he was at the beginning of the series against Nashville before, you know, getting hit with an eye injury, I believe it was. You know, it'll be interesting to see where he's at. But I even think, you know, even with if it's Francouz and Net, Colorado is still the better team. And I think like you said, I don't know how St. Louis could pull off four wins against this Avalanche team. I just think Colorado's too talented, and they've had the disappointments before, failing to reach the expectation levels that a lot of people, including themselves, have for how talented they've been in recent years. So I think this year you saw it in the Nashville series. They're not messing around. They're just going to run through teams if they can. And I think St. Louis, they have enough to put up more of a fight than Nashville, but I don't think it's enough.
You have to wonder too, they probably entered the playoffs with a little bit of doubt, knowing that they've fallen short in recent years, and just plowing through Nashville, you wonder if that just totally erased that doubt, because they're feeling good about themselves. And look, as we were previewing the Ice Hogs and Wolves series, we had a little bit of concern about, the Wolves did anyway, for their layoff, right?
Right.
How much is the layoff going to hurt them? The Avs have had a bit of a layoff themselves, but that's the thing. You talk about the Blues stealing one. Maybe it's early in the series. Maybe it's game one tonight. I don't know. If they win one, that seems about right. Like I said, I've got the Avs in five, and maybe the Blues steal one, and panic sets in Colorado, but they shouldn't. Because they are talented as hell, they're fast as hell, they're physical as hell, and when you look at, teams that are built to win a Stanley Cup from top to bottom, Colorado is right there. And I don't want to look too far ahead in the playoffs, but when you look at a Cup final, there's some really good teams in the East. I think the East is a better conference right now, but I'm gonna have trouble making an argument against Colorado, whoever they face in the final if they get there. So, yep. Yeah, I think this one's gonna be quick.
Yeah, Avalanche were I picked the Avalanche to win the Cup before the season started, so I'm going to keep picking them to stick to my guns, but they haven't given me any reason to waver from that pick either.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I have the Athletics series probability predictions open here based on their several models. 85% goes to the Avalanche in this one.
That's
obviously
about right.
the biggest percentage of the tournament.
That's got to be the biggest margin.
Yeah. The
definitely.
Other games tonight, Tampa and Florida get the battle for Florida underway. So that to me, and I think not going out on a limb here, that's the most intriguing series. It's probably going to be the best series. Two teams that could legitimately be called Stanley Cup favorites meeting in the second round. You've got the Lightning, who have won two consecutive Stanley Cups, just took down Toronto in seven games in a really hard-fought, really excellent series. I'm looking forward to this one. I think we all knew this might be coming, and I'm really looking forward to it. I don't want to miss a second of this series because I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic series. This, as good as Tampa Bay and Toronto was in the first round, I think this one probably will exceed the talent level. Just the skill, the speed, just the completeness of each team is just – it's just going to be a great series. I hope we get seven games of this matchup. It's funny. I think, the question is how much – we mentioned it a little bit yesterday. How much does Tampa have in their tank after back-to-back deep Stanley Cup final runs and championships and already starting the playoffs with a very difficult seven-game series? Whereas the Panthers, didn't have to go seven games, and they've had shorter off seasons in recent years. So you just kind of wonder where, at what point does Tampa's time run out? And I think they're really going to be tested with Florida. And this is a Florida team that got through the Capitals basically without one of their top players, Jonathan Huberto, playing up to his standards. So I think if Florida gets to full steam, they probably could be the favorites in this series. But much like Colorado, as Greg said, I'm the same way with Tampa. Until they give me a reason to pick against them, I can't pick against them. So I'm going with the Lightning in this one.
Yeah, it's nine straight series wins for the Tampa Bay Lightning. This series reminds me a lot of the 2009 Western Conference Finals with the Blackhawks and the Red Wings. Mm. The Blackhawks were that up-and-coming team. The Red Wings were the team they needed to beat. They needed to slay the dragon to get to the next step, and they didn't get it done. But then the next year, you know, we all know what happened. So this is the dragon for the Panthers.
Yeah.
In order to win the Stanley Cup, you got to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. These two teams met in the first round last year, if you guys remember. And Tampa won that series in six games. It was kind of a, you know, somewhat close series. You had a couple of four-goal games in there, four-goal wins for each team. But you also had an overtime game and a couple of one-goal games. So Tampa has that experience factor. There's no doubt about that. But the Panthers went out and got a guy like Claude Giroux at the trade deadline for this series.
Yep.
He is going to be so huge in this series. And I don't mean just by what he does on the score sheet. I just mean about, like, hey, that's a guy that's seen it all. He's been to a Stanley Cup final. Sure, it was a long time ago when he was a much younger player, but he's been through playoff runs. He's been through disappointments. He's been through
ups and downs.
All of it. So when it gets to a moment in game one or game two of this series, he can take some of these younger guys, some of these guys that don't have the long playoff runs, and pull them aside and say, hey, it's just one period. It's just one shift. Let's get him that, you know. There's where he's going to bring his value. And I think the overall key to this series on whether who advances or not is going to be the health of Braden Point.
Yeah.
If he can't play, or if he can't play to his full capacity, that's a huge loss for Tampa. Yes, they've got a lot of weapons. You've got your Kucherovs, your Stamkoses, your Hedmans, Vasilevsky in net. But Point could arguably be the most valuable player these last two cup runs. Because what happened in these last two playoff runs? When they needed that big goal, it seemed that it was always Braden Point was the guy to do it. In a tie game, or you needed a game tying goal late in regulation, it seemed that it was always Braden Point that found the soft spot in the ice and scored that goal. And if he's not out there, that's a huge loss. But with all that being said, like Mario said, until the Tampa Bay Lightning lose a playoff series, I'm not betting against them. I'm predicting the Lightning to win in seven, but it's going to be a great series, something worthy of a conference final more than a second round series.
All right. Like you with the Avalanche, I chose the Panthers to win the Stanley Cup. I made that bet when I saw that they were rumored to be one of the favorites for Claude Giroux, and then they got him. So I got those odds before they got him, which is great. So I'm going to go with Florida. I just think that, as you mentioned, it is their time to slay the dragon. That seven-game series against Toronto was grueling for the Lightning. They're a year older. All those sort of things. Look, I think it's a coin flip. I say Panthers at seven, it can go either way, but I think this is just their year. Night after night after night, as I watched the Panthers when they were on ESPN Plus or whatever, to me they looked locked and loaded, ready to win, ready to be that team. You've got Huberdeau with a huge MVP-type season. Sasha Barkov is fantastic. Like, just, you go top to bottom. You guys, like Anthony Duclair, you know, who is finally, after what, his third or fourth team in the league, has found his game. They're just really, really solid top to bottom. And, yeah, you're right. It is the Dragon. But at some point, the Dragon has to die. And if there's one team in the East to kill the Dragon, it's the Florida Panthers. And I just can't wait for this one. It's like I said, after the Calgary-Dallas game, I couldn't sleep. I feel like it's going to be the same deal. I'm glad these are the earlier games.
Right.
So I can sort of settle down when they're over. Because I feel like it's just going to be however many games the series goes. And it's going to go long because these two teams are awesome. It's going to be exciting. I think every game is going to be close.
Yeah.
And I, your point about Braden Point is, hey, look at that, is spot on. Because that dude, he should be a household name. Yeah. Right? Like, if he's on any other team.
If he's a Maple Leaf, he's
unbelievable.
He's a Hart Trophy finalist.
And you talk about players built for playoff hockey, that's Braden Point. And if he is 80-85% of what Braden Point usually is, Tampa's going to have, or Florida's going to have their hands full. So, and they do already. So that is a huge, huge factor in this series. But just because I placed the bet and you guys are kind of like, you're steering me, I don't want to hedge my bet. I like the Panthers. I'm rooting for the Panthers. I hope they do it. I hope they take them down. And former Blackhawk Andrew Brunette, Blackhawks legend Andrew Brunette, can hoist the Stanley Cup.
That would be cool.
In a few weeks. So
yes, I'm cheering for the Panthers.
Yeah,
but it's so hard to bet against the Lightning at this
point. One of the best things about the Blackhawks, one of the silver linings about the Blackhawks not being in the playoffs, is that we can just watch this and enjoy the chaos of Stanley Cup hockey, and it's just like, this is great. I literally don't care who wins or loses each game. I just want to be entertained, and it's been that desire has been satisfied almost pretty much every night in almost every game.
I mean, I was on the edge of my seat in game seven overtime of the Stars Flames. And I don't care for either team.
I don't care either way.
I mean, I've become somewhat of a fan of the Flames this season. But, like, in the long run, I wouldn't have cared if they lost, other than my brackets would have been busted. But, you know, it was so exciting.
Yeah.
And I just nothing can be replicated. We got five game sevens in round one.
I think this says it all. NHL, five game sevens, two decided in overtime, two decided by one goal, one decided by two goals. NBA, two game sevens. One decided by 28 points, one decided by 33 points.
Yes, go. The game sevens were much better in the NHL so far.
Yes, you know, it's been fantastic. And this round, definitely, I expect...
It's just going to get better.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to get more intense. You've got two big rivalries going at it. And you know, Blues and Avalanche, I wouldn't call them a huge rivalry, but they're same division. They definitely don't like each other.
It's going
to
be great.
Carolina and the Rangers, they don't like each other. You've got, so we'll get to that series in a second, but it's going to be amazing playoff hockey. Let's go. Drop the puck. Let's just start them out.
I just like that it is joyful stress.
Yeah.
Instead of the misery we feel the entire playoffs when the Blackhawks are in it.
Every 30 seconds.
Oh, my God. It's so funny that when you are a fan, January in the chat is feeling it with the Rangers right now, where you're living and dying with every second of the series, and you just feel, you have in the pit of your stomach all the time, because a hockey game can flip like this. You know, in the blink of an eye, everything changes, everything's different. And I mentioned I was at the game in 1996 when the Avalanche eliminated the Hawks in, was it double or triple overtime? Joe Sakic scored. And it was everyone in the building just looked at each other like, no, that didn't happen. That wasn't real. That was not reality. That was a high stick, or he kicked it, or he's in the crease. Like, you're looking for a way to erase this moment from happening, and you go through the joy and the stress of enjoying it, and it's, boom, over like that.
Yeah.
Good or bad. I just think of Brent Seabrook's overtime winner, which to me, against Detroit, to me, that is my favorite singular moment of the dynasty because of the slaying of the dragon and the symbolism of beating Detroit and the Nicholas Hjalmarsson waved off goal and all the things and the Hawks coming back from down 3-1 in that series.
Yeah.
That moment, just in the blink of an eye, and a sort of unlikely candidate to do it too. Like, man, that stress, I miss it, but sometimes I don't. I like watching these games with a smile on my face instead of a lump in my throat.
Yes, it is absolutely enjoyable to watch games, not caring about who wins or loses, and just enjoying the level of play at this time of year in the NHL. But as much as the Stanley Cup playoffs take off of your life as a fan, I would trade that in for the Blackhawks being involved in this.
Oh, of course.
10 times out
of 10. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'll die at 70 instead of 80, or for me, probably 55 instead of 45. That's a little dark. Sorry.
Yeah, I would take those feelings every day. And that's what I hope to get back to.
The interesting thing, though, as I've progressed in this job, and I've spent more time behind the curtain, and now even more time behind the curtain at the NHL level, I kind of feel like what Kobe Cohen said last week when he was here, that, like, I don't find myself necessarily rooting for teams anymore, but I'm rooting for, like, individual players.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I've realized now that, like, as you cover the sport more often, you lose a little bit of that fandom. You do.
Definitely.
Because you realize that every team has really good people. Part of it, people that you build relationships with, people you talk to, people that do favors for you or help you along the way, and then you don't want to, like, actively cheer for them to, like, screw you, you know, get lost. But, you know, so I root for, I'm rooting more for, like, individual players to do well, and you know, we got in the other Western Conference series the best individual player we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get to that in a second, but the Athletic series odds for Florida and Tampa, 66% for Florida, which to me is shocking.
That's high.
Which proves the numbers don't tell the whole story.
Yeah, well, I believe the Athletics model had Toronto pretty heavily favored in the first round, too. So Yes.
Sometimes
the analytics tell a different story than what actually is out there.
Obviously, there's no heart and fire and passion.
You can't measure fire and
passion. Can't measure the heart.
All right, we're going to get to the other two series in a moment here, but want to remind everybody that the best way to support us here at CHGO is to download that PointsBet app. And when you do, make sure you use that promo code CHGO. When you do that, you're going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you're also going to get a free CHGO membership. That unlocks all of our great web content. We've got a bunch of new stuff dropping in today and tomorrow, a ton of new stuff coming out at allchgo.com. You get access to our Discord. You're going to get a free shirt for making that $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. Like, I got my CHGO Blackhawks shirt on here. Joey's wearing a CHGO Bulls shirt. Everybody here is rocking the gear. And I think, Mario, you said your buddy saw somebody wearing it at the zoo, a CHGO shirt. Was that you?
Yeah, it was actually one of Kevin's friends.
That's awesome.
Guy, Peter Pantsless Geraci on Twitter is who it was. I don't know his real name.
It doesn't matter.
He's been in the office. He's a good friend of Kevin.
The greatest username of all time.
Yeah. So, yeah, right, that's who it was. Shout out to my guy, Pantsless.
So that's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free T-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. Introducing NBA Live Same Game Parlay. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA Same Game Parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game. Watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. And remember, you can download the PointsBet app and register from start to finish from your couch, from your shower, from your patio, wherever you are. You don't have to go to the casino anymore and log onto their Wi-Fi. No. Start to finish on your phone. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
And if you're enjoying this podcast, I'm sure you'll enjoy all the other podcasts we have on the CHGO Sports Network. Bears, Bulls, Chicago Fire, Chicago Red Stars, Chicago Sky, Cubs, White Sox. Am I missing any?
I think that's it.
That's all of them. That's all of them for now.
Chicago needs more teams.
Maybe more coming. But, yeah, become a member. Subscribe at allchgo.com. You'll get access to all of our written content, not just the Blackhawks stuff, but everything across the board unlocks all of that for you. You get, you know, the merch that Jay was talking about. It's great across the board. I love all the logos that we have. You know, obviously partial to the Blackhawks logo, but I love the Cubs and Sox logos. They're all just great. We had great designs for them. The merch is great, and yeah, it helps us continue to grow, helps support us as we continue on in this CHGO journey. And yeah, it's been great. So and we couldn't do this without you guys. So go to allchgo.com, become a member, get all that access. You get access to the members only Discord, which we'll be checking in throughout the off season.
I think I'm gonna jump on tonight during the Florida Tampa game.
There you go.
I'll be in there a little bit. So yeah,
it
should be fun.
It's a good time. It's good stuff, and we appreciate all the support. So go do that and help us continue to grow.
All right, let's move on to the Rangers and Hurricanes series. This to me, aside from the Colorado series, easiest to call. You talk about, you know, having failure after failure after failure in the playoffs. Carolina is one of those teams, and we mentioned Colorado, Florida, and Tampa. That's the A tier, I would say, right? I would say Carolina is probably the very top of that next tier. Maybe not on the level of those three, but right there. And you could certainly make an argument if things shake out right for Carolina, they could end up in a conference final as well. I like them to take down the Rangers in six. Look, the Rangers solid for, you know, to win that series up against the wall against a team that is battle tested in the Penguins. Commendable. Mm-hmm. Awesome job. But I just don't find a way that they're going to win four games in the series. I think Shesterkin can win them a game or two. And if you're trying to find a way to justify yourself a Rangers series victory, that's it. That is the clear Rangers advantage.
It's the goaltending goal. Battle, yeah.
And I think it's a significant advantage. I love Antti Raanta, but we've seen him before, and he's never really been able to maintain the consistent elite level of play. We've seen flashes of it. We've seen periods of it, and he was really good in the first series, but this is a different animal. This is the Carolina Hurricanes, and I like them to win this 1-6.
Yeah, I think Carolina is definitely the favorite. I think, you know, we talk about analytics not always telling the story. That's the story of the Rangers and how they got to this point.
True.
If you look at a lot of the different analytical models for the series against the Penguins should have beat them in 5 or 6 games. But it just, you know, the Rangers just had the ability to find ways to win. And, you know, they are a good team. It's just, when it comes to the postseason, it's a different style of play. And at 5-on-5, the Rangers are not one of the best teams in the league. They're one of the bottom, they're in the bottom third from the regular season. So, you know, you up the level of competition against a team like Carolina, whether it's Antti Raanta, whether Freddie Anderson gets healthy and gets back in net, I think it'll be, you know, like you said, Jay, the goaltending battle is going to be a highlight of this series. You know, Igor Shesterkin is a Vezina favorite for a reason.
And a heart candidate.
And a heart candidate for a reason. And I think if the Rangers really are going to pull this out, it's going to be that they steal a few games. And that's going to be difficult against the Carolina team that, you know, looked really good in their first round series and has been very well constructed for the last few years.
Taking down Boston is not easy.
No.
Well, that's their dragon. That's who's been knocking them out of the playoffs.
Right. And Dragon Slade in the first round. Like, mm-hmm. that, you look at it. If I'm a playoff team and I see Boston, I'm worried.
Yeah.
I'm worried. I mean, that is a team top to bottom, loaded, been there, done that, been through it all. They've been contenders forever for a reason. And to get through that, now you can maybe think, is there a bit of a letdown for Carolina early because they can sort of, ugh, all right, we got through the Bruins. This one should be easier. You don't want them to let their guard down. They have to come out with the same intensity they did throughout that entire series. I think they will. I think they're ready for the next step. I'm really looking forward to it. And you talk about rooting for players. Antti Raanta is the easiest guy in the world to root for.
And it's also physically impossible, and I believe it should be against the law, to cheer against Teuvo Teravainen.
our special Finnish little boy.
Yeah, you can't do it. He's adorable. Look at him.
Two of my favorite former Hawks.
I know there's Artemi Panarin on the other side, and we all love the bread man, but, you know, Teuvo was my bread man before the bread man got here.
Why? Why was he British?
I said bread man.
But why was Teuvo bread?
I don't know. I'm just saying I didn't nickname him bread man. I'm just saying he was like, I had a love for Teuvo the way people had a love for Panarin.
I'm busting your chips.
Gotcha.
I'm busting your chips.
So
we got to find the picture of Addy terrified of Teuvo again in honor of the playoffs.
And then we should like Photoshop like Shesterkin's picture.
yes.
Have a little fun.
My wife holding a little baby Igor Shesterkin terrified of Teuvo.
There you go.
Oh, man. But,
like this series, before the playoffs started, I picked Carolina to go to the Stanley Cup final against Colorado. So I'm not steering from that either. That Penguins series against the Rangers, that to me, that series was more of the Penguins losing it than the Rangers winning it. Credit to the Rangers. They never gave up. They showed their heart. They kept fighting back. And they deserve all the credit in the world for doing that. But you give up multiple 2-0 leads to the Carolina Hurricanes like almost every game. You give that team a 2-0 head start.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's not going to be the same thing. You don't have a third string goaltender in Louis Domingue playing the majority of those games. So the Rangers are a very good team. I think they're going to be really good for years to come. But they're another one of those teams.
They're going to get better.
They're another one of those teams that are just not quite ready for prime time. And the Hurricanes are that team that is just about ready to show that they are. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup. This is a playoff series that I could see happening multiple times over the next 3 or 4 years. But I think if this is round one of a few, it's going to go to the Hurricanes just because, you know, they're the better team. They're the better team at 5-on-5. They're the deeper team. And there's nothing wrong with losing to the better team. Igor Shesterkin, as we talked about, he's the wild card. He can totally steal a series But he needs to be better than he was against the Penguins. He needs to be that Vezina winner, Hart candidate trophy finalist from the regular season. He wasn't that guy for most of that series. He looked like that guy for much of game seven, especially early. But he's still been a little times. And that's worrisome. Their team defense hasn't been great. There's been some plays where I was like, Adam Fox, whoa, buddy. Yeah. How did you win that? You should return that Norris trophy. I know you got it because you scored a lot of points, but good God, man, put a body on Jake Guentzel. He's killing you guys.
Yeah.
That's the one guy you needed to put a body on. He was always wide open. So Rangers have their flaws. They're a good team. The Carolina Hurricanes have their flaws, but I think in the end it will be the Hurricanes in six.
I'm also going with the Hurricanes, and you bring up the depth of Carolina against the Rangers. You know, the Rangers have relied very heavily on just their top performers. And you can do that, but I think in the playoffs against a deep team like Carolina, a very experienced team like Carolina, it's going to be a tough hill to climb. And yeah, I think Carolina comes out with the win in the end. But it's another one of those, you know, very close series, even though there is a defined favorite. So,
but and the Tony DeAngelo, which you're gonna have to check out our article companion to this. Jay used a very appropriate and colorful adjective to describe young Mr. Outspoken DeAngelo. But Tony DeAngelo against the Rangers in the playoffs, say what you want about him as a human being. That's going to be a fun storyline to watch. It's going to be very interesting to see how the New York crowd reacts to him and how he feeds off of that.
Yeah.
There were so many terms I could have used.
Right.
I'm very happy with the one I said.
None of them would have been wrong either.
Yeah, I think it worked out nicely. The Athletics model likes Carolina 64% of the time, 64% chance to win a series on that one.
It's hard to believe that the Panthers have a better probability of the win over the Lightning than the Hurricanes do over the Rangers.
Yeah, it's, bunch you know of how we are about these
numbers nerds.
Yeah. Look, I think the numbers are a valuable tool,
yes.
Right? It's
yes.
something you can Absolutely. Look to try to find, okay, like here's an angle maybe we hadn't considered. Or here's how the series has gone so far. And look, the Pittsburgh Rangers thing was a great example. Is all the stats people picked the Penguins, and although they didn't win the series, it kind of did go that way.
It
right?
kind of
they had the edge.
They proved why people were picking the Penguins in that series, but it just wasn't there wasn't the closeout, the ability to close out the series to finish it off. And yeah, I think when you look at how analytics are used in hockey, you can't be at this point in the game and where it's at and how you watch it. I don't think there's really a good way to be 100% eye test or 100% analytics. It's got to be a defined mixture of both, because the analytics can tell you kind of what to expect to see, but then once the puck's dropped, I mean, it's one of the most random games that you can find out there. And, you know, it can give you an idea of what you might expect, but, it's why the games are played on ice and not on I would say on paper, but it's on a computer
not
screen.
Not on a spreadsheet.
Not on an abacus.
That's right. So. All right, the final series, and it's going to be a great one, too. The Battle of Alberta picks up in playoff form. Edmonton versus Calgary. And to me, this is the one I'm the second most excited for after Florida-Tampa. It's such a cliche, like, throw out the record books when these teams get together. But truly, do that. Because the Battle of Alberta is a thing. When I worked at the Score, I used to get just sent random books. Like, all the time, books would come in the mail. And I got one. I have not read it, but it was a Battle of Alberta book. And it was like, it was like this thing. It was like the thickness of the Bible. I was like, oh, my God. It was wild. Like, there's just it's such a storied rivalry. And to see it come full circle now with a guy who probably at the end of his career is going to be on the Mount Rushmore of hockey and Connor McDavid, and an exciting, young, awesome team of Calgary, you know, loaded. Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk, exciting guys who will be people that sell the sport currently and down the road. I can't wait for this one. It's going to be great. It was really hard to make a prediction for me. I'm taking the Flames in six just because I think they're overall deeper. But this is another one that can go either way. I just for me, the biggest factor is Markstrom versus Mike Smith. And 100 times out of 100, I'm taking Markstrom.
Who do you trust more? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it came down to for me. Who do you trust more in net? Jacob Markstrom. Who's the deeper team? Calgary. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl can very much carry an Oilers team successfully, but I just think for doing it so long, they had a tougher time than I think a lot of people, and probably including the Oilers, had against the Kings, and that takes a lot out of you. So I think Calgary has the advantage in net, has the advantage in depth. And I think, you know, I've said it a number of times, Calgary is just a very complete team and is built for this time of year. So I think it's going to be very hard for Edmonton, even with Connor McDavid, to get over them in a 7-game series. It's going to be great. I'm very excited for this series.
Did you guys see the video of Keith Tkachuk jumping up and down after the after the game winner?
Brady was there too.
High-fiving random people and grabbing kids and throwing them on his shoulders. Yeah, that's
random awesome. Strangers.
Jay just sent me the picture of his daughter, afraid of Tuvo Teravainen, and so we threw some Shesterkin love in there as well.
There you go.
There it is.
That's wonderful.
That's fantastic.
It's a young Igor.
We were watching you work because Joey's peek behind the curtain. Joey's screen that he's working on is also the monitor in front of us, and we were watching him build that. And I was trying so hard not to laugh.
I was wondering where it was going.
That's fantastic.
Like, yeah, what's he gonna do? Oh man, that turned out great. Yes, please send that to me so we can post it on social media. That's fantastic. For those that weren't watching the last show we did, this was when the Hawks were at training camp at Notre Dame, and camp was over. We were just hanging out on campus and decided to go get Chipotle for lunch, and Tavo was in Chipotle with a couple other Hawks prospects, and I'm like, Addie, take your picture with Tavo, and she acted like he was the devil incarnate, and there's no one less intimidating than, what was he, probably 19, 18?
Had to be,
at that point. There's no less intimidating human being on earth than teenage Tavo Teravainen. And she looked at him like she had the fear of God on her face. And now Shesterkin will feel the same pain, my friends. Oh, my God. So funny.
That's good.
It's good stuff.
It's that is a memory that I will cherish forever. And he was like, he apologized.
Yes. Sorry for being so scary.
I'm sorry my kid is weird.
And he hasn't aged a day since that photo either.
She's also terrified of mascots to this day.
Oh, man.
To the point where I brought her to a Chicago Steel game. I had a Q&A Madhouse podcast thing at a Steel game. And we're in a suite. And then next to the suite was the suite where the mascot was going to get dressed. So the whole costume's in there. So I say to the security guy, can I just go show her the costume so she can see it's not a big deal. It's just whatever. So she goes in there. She's looking at it. Okay. She understands. She meets the guy who's going to put it on, shakes his hand. It's really nice, smiley. As soon as the head goes on, chaos. Chaos ensues. This is probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, gosh.
But she's 11 now. She's going to be 12 next week, this weekend. Get over it. Get over the mascot thing, kid. I'm sorry. I need to be able to go to sports games and not have my head on a swivel for skates or Tommy Hawk or whoever might come by.
Oh, gosh.
It's time.
Oh,
it's
she would have hated the game 3 in Rockford because they had all the
she would have
Rockford area mascot. There was like 6 or 7, and Tommy Hawk was there, too. It was
she would have
that was nightmare fuel.
She would have ran out of the stadium. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Well, getting back to the Battle of Alberta, no, this is good stuff. I mean, anytime we can get a Joey Photoshop, we get it in there. But this series is it's for us graybeards. Because if you, some of you listening may be too young, but back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, the Flames and the Oilers played each other almost every year in the playoffs. And for a while there, it was whoever won that series went on to the Stanley Cup Final and won the Stanley Cup. So it's going to be good for that. We get Connor McDavid at least 4 more times, and there's no such thing as too much Connor McDavid on the ice. My favorite player to watch in this league, it's not even close. Cale Makar is closing the gap, but it's still all about Connor McDavid. I love watching him play the game. Kyle Davidson was asked yesterday when we had our little Q&A with him at the United Center, is there a team in the playoffs you're building you want a model. And he kind of, you know, in a typical non-committal answer said, no, I want to take a little bit from everybody. They all have their good things, which and that's not the wrong answer.
Not wrong.
But yeah. I really hope he's kind of paying attention to the Calgary Flames and how they're constructed. You've mentioned it before, Jay. That's a great greatly because you have the high-end talent with your Gaudreaus. You've got great defensemen. You've got size. You've got guys that can play the tough guy roles, but can also score. You've got goaltending. They're as close as a complete team as you get. And you got the no-nonsense, battle-tested, cup-winning coach who will wear out his welcome at some point. He's done it in Calgary once already.
Yes.
So you got to take advantage of that now because it doesn't happen all the time. So McDavid is a guy that can literally put the Oilers on his back and win them two games this series. I'm going to pick the Flames in seven. I think just so much is going into this. Those emotions are going to be so high in both of those buildings. But the Flames are the better team. The Oilers have better high-end players, more of them, I should say, and better. But the Flames have that third and fourth line is what's going to win them this series.
I look at guys like Blake Coleman and Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah.
You know, and difference makers.
Trevor Lewis is another two-time Cup winner.
Yep.
So those are the guys that don't get all the global. Blake Coleman was signed from Tampa for this
specific purpose.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's great. I love
Blake
Coleman.
And don't forget, number one defenseman, Nikita Zadorov.
Shh, can I change it to the Oilers? I'm kidding.
So here's, and we got, you know, we could probably get to this later, but it's top of mind. What if the Oilers don't do it? If they can't get by Calgary, they can't get to the Cup final, whatever. What are they going to be able to do to get to that point? Because the salaries are going to get out of control. You're going to have to move. They're not going to move McDavid, right? At some point, this is going to come to roost, and I just don't know what can they do to get over the hump. That's my question.
They have to address goaltending.
That's number one, defense.
And you got to improve your defense. You can't.
Sounds like another team in Canada that has these same issues.
A little bit, yeah.
My first step is if they don't win the Cup this year, is you tell Ken Holland, thanks for playing, get the hell out.
Yeah.
He refused to address the goalies this year.
Yeah, that was weird.
It might be what does them in.
Yeah, and he went out and got Duncan Keith. Okay, yes, experience. But if Duncan Keith is the guy that's going to change your defense at this point in his career, it's not going to happen.
No.
And it hasn't happened.
No, that's like your late season addition to fortify the D. That's like, to me, the Johnny Oduya kind of a move, right? Yeah. Like, and Oduya was great. Don't get me wrong. He was exactly what the Hawks needed when they got him, especially the first time around. But, you know, that can't be like your offseason fix to be the difference in a cup. That's fortifying things towards the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, look, we all love Duncan Keith, of course, but at this point, he's just not the sort of guy that's going to get them over the
hump. He's not the difference maker that he once was.
No, not at all. But I can't wait for this series. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a ton of fun.
The only thing I bummed about this series is the Oilers need to bring back the uniforms from the 80s. Yeah.
I hope they do it as, like, one of those, like, I remember when I was in high school, our football team did this. We had a huge game, and we were, before the game started, they showed, we had all new uniforms. We didn't know they were coming, and we still got our asses kicked. But still, it was like, oh, it like, fired us all up before the game, so we got our asses kicked slightly less. But those sort of things, I don't know, surprise the fans with it, you know? And they take the ice, and there's a huge reaction. It seems so, I don't know, dumb and fanish to say so, but like those things are cool.
Those little moments are fun.
It's like
fun.
The green jerseys at Notre Dame. There's history with those.
Yeah. It's fun, which means the NHL won't do it.
Well, and I think not to extinguish the fun fire here, but I think you have to declare in the NHL what jerseys you're wearing before the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they get approved. You know, I don't.
I'm not the biggest basketball guy in the world, but I love how the NBA, each team has like 18 uniforms. and then they wear all different kinds of crazy combinations.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know it's probably a lot cheaper to make a basketball uniform than a hockey jersey, but, you know, have some fun with the stuff. You know, bring back more throwback stuff. Everybody loves the retro uniforms. I know they're doing this reverse retro. Just give us retro.
right?
Why? The old uniforms are still the best uniforms. That's why when the Flames went back to it, why do you think people love it?
Because the Coyotes are. Yeah. Everyone loves the Coyotes.
They should have never changed.
Yeah.
I love those Kings uniforms where they go back to the 90s. Mm-hmm. I personally wish they'd go back to the purple and
me too,
gold
with the crown.
Yeah, those are great too.
And can someone get in touch with someone in Anaheim about the freaking horrible Ducks uniforms?
Yeah, those are bad. Go back to the
What are you doing?
The Ducks. Yeah.
My Lord. A good point here from Design Love in the chat. The Oilers are a watered down version of Toronto with a better fourth line and a worse D.
Yeah. I believe it.
It's pretty solid. Good analysis.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, so there you have it. I'm taking the Flames in six.
I'm also taking the Flames in six.
And you were the same?
Seven.
Seven for you.
Seven. Because I want one more game of Connor McDavid, damn it.
As many possible
games. I want as many as possible.
I'll change my pick if they wear the retro uniforms.
Yes.
All right, if you guys are enjoying CHGO, one way to help us continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets, up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our great web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice, like mine, from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll help you out. And in case you missed it, online sign-up is available now in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook, easier than ever, and you can do it from your living room in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Got a few minutes left, so want to spend a few minutes on what Jeremy Why have I done that twice today?
That's incredible. Why have I done that? That is incredible.
You've got Colleton on the brain.
My God.
Go home and drink.
Kyle Davidson. Kyle, if you're watching, I'm so sorry. Oof. My God, he's never going to come into studio now.
Our press credentials just got put through the paper. Seriously? Shredder. Way to go.
Oh, my God. Okay. Kyle Davidson reinforced, basically, his head coaching deadline, saying early July is probably when you'll see a new head coach named. Today, we saw Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet report that Barry Trotz will be interviewing with the Winnipeg Jets or has interviewed already. We saw Lane Lambert hired by the Islanders yesterday. So some of the bigger, more available names are starting to get interviews, if not hired. We were talking before the show, and as I was sort of thinking about this, I'm asking myself, does the lack of urgency from Davidson show that he's not really looking for someone that's had a ton of NHL experience? Maybe not. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, which could be very likely. But I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out why is he dead set on such a long timeline. I'm not necessarily worried about it, but at the same time, the longer you take, the fewer candidates become available.
I think one of the big things that I took away from the event yesterday was, and we spoke about it yesterday too, on the show, the trio of Davidson, Jeff Greenberg, and Norm McIver. I think they're trying to work as a cohesive unit where it's not necessarily, you know, it's Kyle Davidson's way or the highway, and you know Jeff and Norm are there to yes men. I think it's going to be more of a group effort in decision making, and just recently the three of them have been put in place together. So to get those three working together on the coaching search and like looking for the criteria for what they're looking for, I think they're probably wanting to have a little bit of time just together to kind of figure out, you know, bounce ideas off of each other, bounce, you know, potential candidates off of each other, and find the right person for the job. I also think part of the reason that they're saying they don't want to be too committal to being like, oh, we're going to start the process real quick, is because maybe some of the people that they have in mind already or have, you know, that they want to put on their coaching list may already be coaching in the postseason as either as an assistant or what have you. So I would like for the process to be quicker than that. I wrote about it today. It'll go up later tonight on allchgo.com. If I was interviewing as a coaching candidate, I would want to be in place before the draft, because if I'm coming in signing up for a rebuild, I want my input on the players that down the road I'll probably be coaching in the NHL. Right. I don't want to be given a roster and say, here, figure it out. I want to have some input on it. And I think Kyle Davidson really does want to have a coach that can put their stamp on the rebuild. And I don't think they're going with a placeholder. I think they're going to look for someone who not only will navigate the rebuild, but could also grow into being the coach that is ready to go when the team is ready to contend again.
And that's not, yeah, that's not a terrible strategy whatsoever. You know, and another thing to think, maybe their ideal coach is still coaching in the AHL right now. So that could be,
yeah.
I think he's kind of taken a page from your favorite pizza joint. He's over-promising or under-promising, over and deliver. If I tell you your pizza is going to be there in 60 minutes and it shows up in 25, you're going to be thrilled. So if I tell you, hey, mid-July and then mid-June, you're going to be like, oh, okay, that wasn't so bad. Mm-hmm. It could be a little bit of that. Don't say one thing and then you can't deliver on.
Right.
The timeline doesn't really bother me so much, just as long as they get the guy they want or the type of guy they want. You know, the Islanders coaching hire, that was an in-house hire. That
right.
guy was already there. He's basically getting promoted. That was an easy call. Lane Lambert was a guy I wanted the Blackhawks to go after when they got Colleton, got the axe. So, and then Barry Trotz is a guy we talked about. He's not coming to the Blackhawks. So those two things don't affect the Blackhawks at all.
No.
Because I think, you know, I don't think Lambert would, you know, even if Lambert was available, I don't know, you know, that would have been a guy that you know, Davidson would have wanted because he's a Trotz clone. He's been Trotz's right-hand guy since the Nashville days. He probably doesn't want to play up-tempo hockey either, you know. He probably wants to play that slogging neutral zone, slow, bore-you-to-death type of hockey that can win you a Stanley Cup, but... So the timeline, I'm okay with the timeline. Ideally, yeah, you're right. I'd like to have a guy in there before the draft, before free agency. But if not, it's not the end of the world. As long as these guys get the guy they're looking for or the type of guy they want, I think a lot of teams are going to take their time because I think a lot of the teams are waiting for guys in the playoffs.
Yep.
There's a lot of assistants on Tampa Bay that are probably going to get interviews. There's going to be guys in Florida that all of a sudden now hot coaching, who's Jared Bednar's assistants that are going to get looked at. So lots of things to fall. And to me, I don't think the head coach is the biggest domino for Kyle Davidson this summer.
Right, right.
There's a lot of things he needs to take care of and get a coach.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not the top priority. This team is not they're not a coach away from being good. So take your time and find the guy you think is the guy to lead you through and beyond the rebuild. There's no problem. I have no problem taking your time.
What if that coach is a certain Coach Ditka? How far away are they now? Yeah, smart guy.
Even farther.
Just for the record, the draft July 7th and 8th, free agency July 13th. So keep those dates in mind. Like you said, Mario, be nice to have a coach in place for those.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. Before we wrap up, we want to remind everybody to join the family here at CHGO. Go to allchgo.com, sign up for that membership. You'll get access to our Discord, our merch, our all the great written content. Our predictions will be dropping momentarily in print form. Mario's got a piece on the coaching search coming out. Tons of great stuff every day. And it's not just us. It's every Chicago sports team with fresh content all the time. I know the Bulls show is coming up next. They've got their continuing evaluations going on. We begin our evaluations on tomorrow's show. We're going to do the Jones brothers, not the Jonas brothers. The Jones brothers to start our evaluations. We'll do those every Wednesday. That will be a podcast and then written content as well. So make sure you're here for that. We've got Throwback Thursday coming up. Whole bunch more coming up to you for you this week. We'll be at 1:30 every day this week. So make sure you're subscribed to the CHGO podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure you're liking and following our YouTube page as well. For Mario and for Greg, I'm Jay. Joey, thanks for your help with the production today. We greatly appreciate it. This has been the CHGO Blackhawks Podcast.